Tucker Carlson said, this whole woke world turned upside down ideology is actually all about one question. He says, this isn't about conservative or liberal or right wing or left wing or even who's right and who's wrong. He says, it's about one question. Am I God? Let that sink in. You know, it might be a sidebar, but it does illustrate the subtle lack of humility on our society's part. I can do this. I can make you do what I want you to do because I'm God and you ain't. It's some pretty sobering stuff. Because humility is a way forward and pride is a stopper. So God says the first thing, I want you to do three things. Humble yourself. Then he says, seek my face and pray. I kind of lump them into the same thing. Because that gets us to look to the source instead of ourselves. And in order to seek God's face, we got to get to know him. And I mean, I was raised as a Christian, so a lot of this stuff sounds kind of cliche and Christianese to me. But there comes a point, folks, where we need to stand on our own two feet instead of on mom and dad's faith. We got to stand on our own legs. We, on our own, need to seek God's face and just plain get to know him. And I'm realizing after 60 years of living, I'm finally starting to understand one or two things. And one of the biggest ones is get into God's word. And that's tough for me because I'm sorry, but a lot of times it's boring. It's dry. You know, you get into Numbers and Leviticus and thou shouldest do that and thou shouldest not do that or thine self might be smite with rocks or something. It's tough. But I got back into it again just recently and the Lord had brought me up short on something. And he said, if you really want change, you got to get to know me. And he says, if you want things to change, you got to take the first step. And I don't know if you remember the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series. Aslan had told one of the kids, I think it was Eustace, told him he was at this cliff top and he was supposed, Aslan wanted him to go over here. But between here and there was nothing but clouds. You know how you've seen pictures of being way up on top of a mountain and the clouds are below you? You're supposed to walk over there. Well, yeah, right. And he was talking about faith. And he says, take the first step. And God has told me that so many times. I'm not going to do it all for you. You got a job. You take the first step. I will take care of everything else. And old Eustace, he stuck his foot out there, and I can't remember how the story went, but Aslan was there. Got to take the first step. And that is seeking God's face and realizing that God is actually the one with the answers. These things that are really just tying me up inside, God has the answers. I've heard that ever since I was a kid, but it isn't until we put him to the test. It isn't until I put him to the test that I realized, by jing, he's right. He does have answers. One guy said, it's from our knees that we have the greatest effect on the world around us. That's all part of getting to know God and seeking his face. Instead of turning to what I can do, I'm realizing I need to turn to God. That's become my absolute favorite prayer lately is, Jesus, what do you want me to know right now about that? What did you pack in here tonight? What's bugging you? You thought you was riding a horse and leading a pack animal. No, you're the pack animal. you are packing that big old pile of garbage. Have you ever asked Jesus, what do you want me to know about that right now? What's he saying to you right now? What's those thoughts? What's the first thought to come into your head? We're going to have communion later. I wasn't planning on a Good Friday message, but me and God was talking late last night, and he was saying, this is all about the cross. I'll explain that in a minute. We have to turn from our... Oh, one other thing I was going to say. Prayer is coming into a place of agreement. God says, seek my face. That's prayer. Coming into a place of agreement with the heart and mind of God to exercise his authority on the earth. What did he say in the Lord, what they call the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't all about we're stuck here, wait until he finally comes, and then we could start seeing his kingdom. No, I propose to you that his kingdom is right here, right now, in addition to what we're going to get. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the prayer is exercising the agreement with the heart and mind of God to exercise his authority in the earth so that his will is done here as it is in heaven. And I thought it was very interesting. Bill Johnson said healing comes from God's hand, but forgiveness comes from his face. He says, seek my face. Turn from your wicked way. That was the third thing. And that's always the other guy, right? I'm a Christian. I'm good. I've got it figured out. My sins are just little. No, doesn't matter. If my people, he says, because we're not immune to sins, and we got to deal with them. And I had to come to that point. What am I hiding? What's going on inside here that you don't have a clue about? You look at me and you say, he's perfect. I know you think that. And I appreciate that. No. What am I hiding that only God knows and you don't? Those are the things. And he's pointing his finger on your heart gently right now. What is it that you're hiding? David's prayer after the Bathsheba incident. What did he say? Create in me a clean heart. And don't keep your Holy Spirit from me. See if there's any wicked way in it and lead me in the right path. It's exactly what he's talking about. So we need to turn from our wicked ways. God says, you do those three things, I'll do three things. I will hear. I promise I will hear. How many times have we prayed, just like David said, man, that ceiling is just brass. It's just coming back at me and mocking me. No, he says, I will listen. He is listening, but he can't stop it from happening. He didn't stop them three girls from falling into the canola. He didn't stop the stuff that was happening and is happening in the world right now. But again, it's relationship. He says, then I will hear, I will forgive. I love that. Because I know who I am. And that was another reason why I was afraid to stand up here tonight. Because I know who I am. I know that I have things that get in the way between God and me. But he says, I will forgive you. And I've been going through the Psalms lately. The first, I think, 70 or so were mostly attributed to David. And in there, so many times, he says, God is looking at me as I'm innocent of everything that I've done. And that's because I've taken the steps to always keep a short account with him. He says, I will forgive you. And forgiveness reinstates relationship. I love that. And then he says, I will heal your land. I could go on and on. I know it's we got to keep things short-ish here. But that was such an amazing thing. I want to just camp on that for a little bit. Did you realize that the impact of your relationship with God, what that has on your country? I didn't realize that until a year ago. My depth of relationship with God is having an impact on my country, and I don't even have to get involved in politics. The health of my country has a direct correlation to the my transparency of my relationship with God. I'll let that soak in for a minute and let him reveal to you what that means. Jesus, what do you want me to know about my relationship with you? And I believe that that also means the land of our own lives as well. Bottom line, folks, is God wants relationship. It's not about performance. It's not about how good I can be or how good I can appear to be. That's nothing. Remember what Jesus said when all them Pharisees was after him saying, oh, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're not supposed to do that and you're not supposed to breathe out of your left nostril on the day that ends in Y. And you're not. That's what it amounted to. They had taken, I don't know how many zillions they have written, so many commandments to help keep them, their Ten Commandments. Jesus says, you went that way, I can go this way. I can reduce it down to two. Just love God with everything you got. And love your neighbor, the next guy, with everything you've got. All the rest is you could go. It's just going to fall into place. That's something I can do. That's something you can do. And I dare say that God is in the business of culling, it seems, right now. I wonder if at the same rate society is falling apart and going to hell in a handbasket, or however way you want to look at it, it's stinking fast. I mean, it's every day there's something new. And we don't have to name names. We don't have to say anything. We all know the things that are bugging us. Those things. As fast as that is going south, I believe God, at the same rate of speed, is culling his church. That may be about as close to a prophetic word as this old Baptist raised boy has. But I believe it's true. And I believe he simply wants relationship. He doesn't want us coming here every Tuesday night just because we're afraid that if we don't, what's my neighbor going to think? He doesn't want you coming here just because so-and-so is going to be here singing or preaching. He wants you here because, like David said, I can't wait to get into the house of the Lord. He wants relationship, the kind of relationship that has nothing to do with just Sunday morning or Tuesday night. This has to do 24/7. That's what he's looking for. My people who are called by my name, he gave us his name. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. And I'm going to heal their land. That's enough to even make a Baptist yell amen, ain't it? That is amazing stuff. So I'm asking Jesus to show up. I ask the Holy Spirit to show up. I've been praying for you guys for a day or two. What is it that you packed in? that you can't get rid of. Time to just take a minute and say, Jesus, what do you want me to know about that? What is he saying to you? See, this week is about the cross. This was the cool segue that Jesus was telling me about. He says, all that stuff that you came packing today, the cross was not just about our salvation. This is the concept. It wasn't just about fire insurance, life insurance, to get us to heaven when this sucky old world finally gives up on us. No, this is about his death on the cross. Whatever that is that you're seeing in your mind's eye right now that's bugging you, his death on the cross was for that. So as we go to the Lord's table, I want us to think about that. What are you holding back? What do you need to turn from? Is it apathy? Is it unbelief? Or pride or arrogance? Unforgiveness? That's a big one for me. I need to forgive people that have wronged me. And that doesn't mean that they get off scot-free. That means I release from myself the hold that that person has over me. I'm not a victim. I release that. Is it addiction? Hopelessness? I notice there's many geezers in here. I love geezers. I'm working on getting there myself. I was talking to a friend of mine just today. And quit laughing. And he was talking to a friend of his who was 80-some-year-old retired pastor. He said, how's your life with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus right now? And that old boy says, you know, I just get together with a bunch of other guys my age. We go to the A&W. We sit and have coffee and we complain about life. And he looked at Wayne and he says, I'm a shriveled up, useless old man. Your geezerhood is a season. It's a season of passing on to other people what you have learned in your life. Don't throw that away. Because there's people young, like really young like me, that are looking at you and saying, how in the world did you do that? We need to know. You're still here because God ain't done with you yet. You've probably heard that. I don't care whether you have one tooth left in your mouth. You can still talk. God has something for you. I just feel very strongly that I need to encourage you guys to do that. Don't give up, you really, really old people. Because God has so many things. That's why you're still here. He has things for you to do. Don't be that shriveled up old prune that can't do nothing. So there. Remember, folks, WEF is not our enemy. Trudeau's not our enemy. Our neighbor who doesn't like us because we don't do this or do that, he's not my enemy. That family member that has cut you off is not your enemy. What did Paul say? Our enemy is up a little higher up in the air than that. We don't battle flesh and blood. We battle principalities and darkness. And that's old Slewfoot and his ammo. We're battling him. And the only way to battle that is on our knees. Covered in the blood of Jesus, because when he looks at us, he doesn't see our imperfections, he sees his perfection, because we are soaked to the core in Jesus' precious blood. That's our battle. Let's go and reveal your truth that takes the place of that lie. And would you let us know in whatever way we need to hear directly from you, from your heart to our heart, what we can do with that garbage we've been packing.